Welcome to the Gerald Journal podcast. My name is Holly Hensley. I'm the librarian at Gerald High School, and I facilitate this podcast. But the real stars are our hosts, Christine Collins and Stephen York, and our producer, Kessler Mixon. All three are smart and outgoing students here at Gerald High School, and they are very excited to bring this podcast to you. We have big plans to interview interesting characters and paint a colorful picture of life here in Gerald, Texas. Gerald's a small town located about an hour north of Austin, and we hope you tune in to the Gerald Journal podcast to hear what's happening in this up-and-coming community.
Hello, and welcome back to the Gerald Journal podcast. Joining me today, as always, the very lovely Christine, and Chief and Staff of Editing, and the Wise Man.
Hello!
And today we have a very special guest with us, County Judge, Judge Gravel. Pleasure to have you here, sir.
Well, and thank you for having me today. It's always a great day to start out the morning in Gerald, Texas.
Oh, thank you very much.
We're glad that you're here this morning. And just to get started so everybody knows some of Mr. Gravel's accomplishments, I'm going to go ahead and read off some. So he was named the Judge of the Year by Texas Justice of the Peace and Constables Association. And in 2015, his court received the Tyler Public Sector Excellence Award for Courts in America, which was awarded by the Tyler Technologies. And it's an honor to have you here, Your Honor. So how are you today?
I'm doing great. It's a beautiful day, and glad to be here. I'm excited about your podcast, too. I'm hearing rave reviews. The sheriff talked with me about it. I think you guys interviewed him. Mm-hmm. My hero in Gerald, Texas, is a lovely young lady by the name of Priscilla King.
Yep. Yes.
And I understand that you guys have interviewed her.
Yep.
And so the thought that I could follow on the heels of either of them makes me go, wow. So thanks for the invite.
Yeah,
No problem. So why don't we just start off short and sweet? Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself growing up, how you kind of came into the position of county judge?
Well, I'm a Williamson County boy. I was born in Georgetown, raised in Round Rock. And when we had an opportunity, after I went for my undergraduate and graduate degree, we had the opportunity to come back to the community. We did. We moved to Georgetown, and about 12 years ago, we moved up to Gerald. And so Gerald is home for me. I am the highest elected official ever in Williamson County to be from Gerald, Texas, and I'm proud of it.
Congratulations, yes.
Right? I remember when we had no McDonald's, right?
Really?
And so the world has evolved here in Gerald. So Gerald's home for me, and my wife and I love it here, and that's why I'm here today for your podcast.
Great to hear. So that explains why you're so nice and stuff.
Yep. Yeah.
Texas raised.
There you go.
That's true.
Yep.
Okay, so obviously being a county judge, you deal with a lot of cases. One case that I feel kind of ties more into the high school level is juvenile cases. And I was wondering, have you ever dealt with or usually deal with cases like this?
So as county judge in Williamson County, a county of our size, you no longer actually have judicial responsibilities. You have solely executive responsibilities, and we can talk about that in a minute. But as Justice of the Peace, in my time there, I only handled 83,465 court cases. I only signed 18,000 arrest warrants, and I only handled 770 death investigations. Mm-hmm. And I was the one who handled all of the traffic tickets from kids from Gerald, or even truancy cases at that time, or Class C assault cases. So I had a regular stream of good kids from Gerald, Texas, in my court on a very consistent basis.
Good. Gerald does something good with their kids. Yeah, I'm glad to hear that. And so I know that you started this mentoring program for kids. Could you tell us something, like a little bit about that and why you decided to create that program?
Well, you know, Well, can I tell you why I'm here today?
Yes.
Because I think I see the future sitting right here in front of me. Huh. I see the future in public safety and perhaps in our court system, perhaps in communications.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel obligated to pour into the next generation. because you're going to be our judges, and you're going to be our chiefs of police and our mayor, and you're going to be the new vet that opens up in Jarrell. And so mentoring to me is about paying it forward. I was a kid who grew up in Round Rock, Texas, and there were adults that invested in me. And I just, you know, being elected is a privilege, but the responsibility with coming comes from being an elected official is I think you got to pay it forward. And I just see the future sitting in front of me.
That's amazing. Thank you
very much. That's an honor to hear from Your Honor. So I'm going to say that all throughout the podcast, just to let you know.
You can tell it's a good pun if it hurts you on the inside.
So, for people who don't necessarily know what a county judge does, do you mind explaining that just a little bit for us?
Sure.
Thank you very much.
So the county judge is the chief executive of the county. Some would say you're like the mayor of the county. Mm-hmm. My responsibility is to lead the commissioner's court and our general and operating budget, which is well over $300 million a year. My responsibility is to provide for our sheriff all of the resources he needs to be successful. And how I work with the sheriff is we provide the money for the cops, the cars, mm-hmm. the guns, the badges, the bullets. We provide the money for the SWAT team bus and the training and equipment. Mm-hmm. And so I have to work really closely with other elected officials. That's not a difficult challenge, though, when you have really good and honorable people, you know, that mm-hmm. are working together. So one of the roles is the county judge is the budget, the implementation of the budget, and making sure people are accountable to the budget. I also oversee and kind of guide the senior department heads for Williamson County. Currently, we have 1,894 employees. We own over a couple of thousand vehicles, assuming we haven't wrecked one this morning. We have a criminal justice system and a court system that we provide the funding, the resources, the facilities for. We have 68 different buildings in Williamson County. In our criminal justice system, we have 13 full-time judges, and those judges require clerks and bailiffs and several different folks, adult probation staff, stenographers. And so as the county judge, you're really the conduit to provide the resources for everybody else to be successful. Now, as county judge, I handle some weird things too. Like I handle mass gathering permits. So if you want to gather more than 500 people in Jarrell, you got to have a permit from the county judge to do that. I had a hearing yesterday on a mass gathering permit for 2,000 or 3,000 folks. As county judge, last night I was out at our emergency operations center, emergency management, which is in an emergency, you've got to have a structure of government to provide and protect. I'm in charge in the event of emergencies here in Williamson County to make sure that those local agencies have all of the stuff they need to be successful, whether like last night it's a water rescue or a truck that overturned in Thorndale and a bar ditch full of water, you know, so. Mm-hmm. So that's part of the responsibility. The other part of the responsibility of the county judge is you're the conduit to the local media and national media for events and things that go on here in the county. In county government, we're also responsible for roads. And we only have like 1,200 miles of roads that we maintain here in Williamson County. And some of them have potholes in them. Mm-hmm. And so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
I can
speak from experience. Yeah,
So the city of Jarrell is responsible for the roads in the city limits, right? You live in the city limits, so you mm-hmm. know where that is, right? Sure. The county is responsible for everything outside of the city limits, except for the state highways
mm-hmm.
or the federal highways.
Yeah.
And the only federal highway we have in Williamson County is Interstate 35.
Right.
And so our job is not potholes in 35 or potholes in the city of Jarrell. No, there are never potholes in the city of Jarrell. So that's some of the work of the county judge, but it's fun.
So on your day-to-day dealings, because I know a lot of people like have the thought or perception that as a county judge, you sit in a courtroom and you deal with cases all day, but seeing as your responsibilities that you stated, it's more than just that.
Right.
So
So in a county, let's hypothetically talk about a neighbor county. Let's say Milam County, right? Mm-hmm. County of 25, 26,000 people. That's a small enough county where your county judge actually sits the bench and handles probate matters, the appeal matters from the municipal and the justice courts. And so it's a smaller county in population, and so the county judge has to dive into that workload. In Williamson County, in our county court at Walls, we have four judges. And now, 100 years ago in Williamson County, the county judge handled court and judicial matters. But as we continue to grow and explode in growth, I'm removed more from the bench and deal more on the day-to-day level with executive matters for the county.
All right, so talking about news for just a second. In recent years, there have been a little bit of controversy over who the judicial system of government favors, the defendants or the
criminals.
Accused.
Yeah.
So for people who would say that the law system is unfair or sides more towards the criminals, what would you say to people who have that sort of perspective of our law system?
Well, there are two parts of the law enforcement system that I see, if I can break that down in my view.
Mm-hmm.
There is the public view of law enforcement, which is your local peace officers.
Yep.
Your local cops, your local game wardens, your local highway state troopers. And so some people view that as the law system. I don't. That's the justice system. Those are the ones who hold you accountable to get you to court, and it's the responsibility of the court, which is the other branch of the legal system. It's the responsibility of the court to adjudicate the matter. Listen, I knew then, and I know now, even as county judge, everybody that ever walked in front of me was innocent until proven guilty. And so there is a prejudice from the court system that everyone's innocent. But that's the way the Constitution is written,
yeah.
And that's the way the law is. There should be a presumption of innocence. The struggle is when there's a presumption of guilt.
Yeah.
That is not good, it is not healthy, and it is not right. Every defendant who walks through the door, whether it's for a ticket or whether it's for being accused of assault and family violence or drunk driving, when you're coming up as a defendant and you've allegedly committed a criminal offense, you're fighting against a system, and the system has a lot of attorneys and a lot of money and a lot of dollars to put you in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Almost an unfair advantage. Would you agree?
Very much so.
That's why we have indigent defense. That's why we in Williamson County, when we have defendants that don't have an ability to pay, we just don't get them any attorney. We find them the best attorney that we can, and we pay a lot of money, because that person who walks in that courtroom, regardless of what they've been charged with out on the street, they are innocent until proven guilty, and they deserve the best defense. So the answer to your question, in the court system, I think that justice is blind, and I believe it is actually slanted toward the defendant and their innocence versus the defendant and their guilt.
Which proves the point that there is some people that have the mindset where it's guilty till proven innocent, whenever it really should be innocent until proven guilty.
Right.
What would a good example be without getting into some very deep water? You know, I'm just not going to do it. Wrong place to do it. On to another question.
Wouldn't you agree, though, that the weight of conviction should be upon the state, and that the presumption of innocence alone is sufficient?
Yeah.
I remember even as a justice of the peace in court, I would share with defendants, you know, they wanted to tell their story, and I would say to them, you don't have to tell your story.
Yeah.
You're innocent. It's their responsibility to provide your guilt. Now, whether you respond to that or don't respond to that, is your choice. You know,
it's plead the fifth.
Yeah. Well, it's not plead the fifth. It's pleading the fifth is saying I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to incriminate myself. But like in a Class C misdemeanor, it's the state's responsibility to put on the case. You can, for lack of a better word, shoot holes in the case. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Verbally. But you don't have to say anything at all. The pleading the fifth is saying, you know, under the potential of a conviction for what I'm potentially saying, I choose not to speak at all. So sometimes, you know, I always said in court, attorneys would ask me, how do I be successful in your court? And I would say, less words.
Mm-hmm.
People talk too much in court. They want to say too much in court. Say less. Speak less.
Because they're trying to prove their case, so they think by saying more, they have a better chance of siding with what they're saying.
Yeah. So as a judge coming in on a case, let's say, can we talk hypothetically that you're charged with speeding, right? When you
come on, Christine.
When you come into my court, it's the state's responsibility to prove your guilt. If you sit there through the whole thing and you don't say anything, I don't discriminate against you. Actually, I go to the other side and go, wow, she's smart. She didn't say anything.
Yeah.
True. Sometimes the best thing said or nothing said at all.
Yes. Abraham Lincoln once said, it's wiser to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak and remove all doubt.
Yeah.
Wise words.
But
those are honorable words, aren't they?
Right.
Let's be honest.
I see what you did.
Let's be honest. Everybody speeds in Texas because the speed limit here is let her rip.
I wouldn't say everybody.
If you go on the highway, you have people going 90 miles per hour and somebody going 60 miles per hour.
I think you're incriminating yourself right now by telling him that you speed.
Have you been in my court before for speeding?
No.
Feeling a little guilty about that?
No. Not yet.
No, and I have not speed. I've only gotten 75 on the highway.
Mm-hmm.
And 60 if the person right in front of me is going 60 because they're not going to speed limit.
Sounds like a defendant in court. Mm-hmm. Remember when I said less words are better?
Prime example.
So you've obviously been around Williams County Jail for quite a while. No offense. What would you say is the most interesting thing that you've had to deal with in your time as either Justice of the Peace or County Judge?
As county judge, it's been the surprises. It's when you wake up and you're asked for media quotes or interviews for a disaster that occurred the night before. That's been the part that's been surprising to me. The part that is refreshing to me is when I see a community or people in trouble and how a community comes together. And I'll give you an example. There was an auto accident last night in Thorndale. A truck slid off the road upside down in a bar ditch. No big deal unless you're the person in that seatbelt in that truck, right?
Okay.
You know what happened in the pouring rain was that 12 people stopped and flipped that truck over physically.
Really?
And got the guy out of the truck. And it saved his life. I think that's what makes Williamson County exceptional. Mm-hmm. Is it doesn't matter whether you're in Thorndale or Jarrell or Round Rock or Cedar Park or the Austin part of Williamson County. Good people do good things in the midst of crisis.
Mm-hmm.
The best days that I've ever seen in Jarrell, Texas, have been the worst days in Jarrell, Texas. There have been two tornadoes over the last 20 years, and my wife's family lives here. And I've seen what this community does to respond to help their neighbor. And it's amazing when you see good people come together in the midst of crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Well said.
Now, can I ask you, so I know before you became a county judge, I heard that you served 20 years as a pastor. So how did you go from being a pastor to being involved with law? And do you think that your growing up, your upbringings, and the mentors that you discussed earlier were an influence on that?
So I served as a pastor or a youth pastor, for 30 years in Texas churches. And in fact, my wife and I started a church here in Jarrell, Upward Church. which is over by the, I was going to say the new elementary school, but I guess that's the old elementary mm-hmm. school because there's a new one. My faith has always been a driving force in who I am. As I was a pastor and a youth minister, I interacted with the Justice of the Peace. His name was Steve Benton. I would see him out on death calls. In fact, I saw him on a death call in Sonterra, and I saw him get down on one knee and tell a family, well, I remember vividly, he said, on behalf of the people of Williamson County, I'm deeply sorry for your loss, and I will do anything and everything to determine his cause and manner of death. I'm heartbroken for your loss. And Judge Benton inspired me because I saw not only a great judge, but a good man of faith who handled death and dying well. But then I got to watch him in court. I enjoyed court when it was the juvenile cases. I loved when Gerald was there for truancy. I loved when Gerald was, kids from Gerald were there for speeding. My experience with the students from Gerald is they just want to know where the rules were and they wanted to follow the law. And when they figured out that they messed up, they tried to get it right. I mean, there are tons of kids that I see, even today, that will come up to me and go, hey, dude, you were my judge and you were nice to me. And I think my background and I think my faith is what centers me in what I do today. Okay. The reason I ran for county judge is the county judge was retiring. I never wanted to be county judge. I just wanted to be the justice of the peace. And I saw the work of the county judge and I respected that. And I realized, you know, as justice of the peace, I served 100,000 people. But as county judge, I serve over 600,000 people now. And I love it. I love to serve, and I have fun with it. It doesn't matter to me if you're outside digging a ditch or whether you're working in a studio putting together a podcast or whether you teach or you're a principal or you're a judge. It should be fun. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Find what you're passionate about doing and make it fun. And if you have people around you that aren't fun, you know what I've learned to do? Get rid of those people. Because they're fun suckers. They will suck the fun out of a life if you don't get rid of them.
Very true. So if someone was looking to be a county judge, what are some things that they would need to prepare for?
Well, you have to be prepared for people to say disparaging and unkind things about you. Mm-hmm. You have to be prepared to spend and lose a quarter of a million to half $1 million. You have to be prepared to go home and to see your wife and your kids at home crying because of the news story that broke, probably that wasn't true about you. Mm-hmm. You have to be prepared to get bombarded with questions every day, just like this setting, but there are a lot tougher questions.
Yeah.
What I would say to someone is, it sounded all negative, didn't it? Yeah, man, you better put on your
game face.
Your game face, and you have to know what you're called to do. Mm-hmm. And if you're called to run for public office, then do it. It's a step of faith, guys. Mm-hmm. It's a leap of faith. And you just have to decide, is this what I'm supposed to do? And if it's what you're supposed to do, you can't be distracted with all of the, you know, chit-chat. You need to keep your game face on and go after the ball. That's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
So how are you able to keep your game face on knowing that you're called to do something good in faith and everything? You want to help not only, like, the kids of Gerald, but, like, the people of Williamson County and others, just, like, outside of Williamson County, because, as you know, Texans are, like, usually very, very nice. So knowing that you have all these chit-chatters and talkers and hearing things that aren't true and people asking you these hard questions when you're just trying to do good for the public, how are you able to combat all those things?
First, you have to know what you're called to do. And I think this is a good word of wisdom for high school students. There are detractors and negative people all around us. You have to choose, do I want to listen to that and allow that to kind of infiltrate my life and become a part of me and my DNA, or do I walk away from it? I have to tell you, when you're in politics, you got to have a thick skin, but you also got to be smart. And being smart means that you don't read all of the social media. And being smart means that when you hear negative things about yourself that are on social media or the news, you don't go look at the news story. and you don't look at social media, you literally walk away from it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a good word for high school kids. I also think, too, that social media is a great tool for us to communicate, but it is the meanest thing that I've seen in the last 55 years of my life.
Definitely.
Because some of your friends will unload on social media and say things that aren't true, and I'm thinking, dude, have the guts to walk up to my face and say that.
Yeah, honestly.
Don't say it on, you know, this platform or that platform. But people, you have to understand there are people like that. And with people like that, you have to choose, do I want to listen to it or not listen to it? And me, I choose to be a leader that is forward-leaning, and I don't listen to all the crap around me. Can I say crap?
Yes.
Yes.
I don't listen to it, man. You can't let the negative people will tear you down.
Mm-hmm.
Well said.
That's like what you said earlier, to have people surrounded that surround you that are fun and like are encouraging, because when you have those people around you, it's hard to not sink into like what they're saying and like the things that they're doing. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a great word for
students. Doesn't it, when you have a friend that's positive and affirming, that still challenges you but builds you up, you want to be around them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Very
it's infectious in a positive way.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, look, for some guys that are listening to this podcast, your takeaway may be that you need to get rid of a few friends. I mean, literally, if you have life suckers, people that suck the life out of you because the sky is falling, maybe you need to change friends. You know, it is not your job to help them be happy people.
Right.
Well said.
So,
go ahead.
Continuing on negatives, though.
By the way, can I go with something positive real quick?
Yeah, sure.
So, do you know who one of my best friends is?
Who?
Sheriff Robert Chody.
Really? Oh.
Do you know why?
Good friend.
Because he inspires me, and he is a good man. He's an honorable man. He deals with major problems just like I deal with major problems.
Mm-hmm.
But he is a life giver, not a life sucker. And so, professionally, we work together well. We're both people of faith. We understand each other. But we also know in the midst of conflict and strife and big problems that he knows that this brother's going to be standing right there beside him. And I'm standing beside him. It doesn't matter how bad the story is. I'm standing there with him because we're family.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so if you surround yourself with people, I like to think that I make the sheriff better. But I have to tell you, he makes me a better person too.
Mm-hmm.
He just does.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, you can feel his energy. I know when he was here, he was so enthusiastic, and you can just feel like he loves what he do. Mm-hmm. Like he does, my bad.
Yeah.
Wanna go ahead?
But what do you look at for determining the punishment for guilty defendants? Like, let's say I have a speeding ticket, and I come to you and say, all right, I personally don't think the speeding ticket is accurate or anything like that, but all of the evidence points to it being accurate. So what is the punishment for all of that?
He's preparing himself.
Yeah, first of all, you just admitted.
Well, once again.
You just admitted, right? And we're back to speeding.
I have no speeding ticket.
Yet.
I have no speeding ticket.
So here, can I tell you? So there's under Texas law, there's a fine range. The fine range for a speeding ticket is from $1 to $200.
Mm-hmm.
People who came in my court and lied, I had this real simple rule, never said it out loud, I thought it in my mind, you lie, you die.
Uh-huh.
You lie in court, it's a maximum fine.
Yeah.
The person who comes in my court and says, you know what, Judge, I was speeding. I was 5 miles over, 20 or 30 miles over speed. Uh-huh. I was speeding and I'm guilty. Man, you just told the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very hard thing to do nowadays.
Now that individual, if somebody came in and they told the truth, I would listen to their story and I would look at their record.
Mm-hmm.
If I looked at their story and looked at their record and listened to their story, you would find that I was considerably nicer to them than others. Now, when you come into court and you say, I'm not speeding, and actually the trooper has a video of you going 97 miles an hour, and you say in the video, dude, my bad, I wasn't going 97. I was only going 95 miles an hour. And you've admitted to that, and something that's been admitted into evidence. Yeah.
That's no. It's better to tell the truth.
You dig your own grave.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what's funny is in today's world, So some cops have gotten in trouble because of the video cameras, right? It's proven that they've been abusive,
yeah,
and excessive, and it should. If it proves that, they should be held accountable.
Yes.
But you know, those video cameras have actually exonerated more cops. Mm-hmm. Before, we had a whole lot more complaints, mm-hmm, of abuse or assaults or things like that, but we didn't have any proof. You know, we would have to take that individual's accusation and treat it as truth.
Yeah,
until we could,
and isn't it now in the rules for the uniform for every single cop that they have to have a body cam on them?
So depending on the agency. But okay, our sheriff in Williamson County has made it mandatory for everybody in his agency. And what's neat about that is it's exonerated some cops that have been, mm-hmm, accused of things, but there have been some cops that have lost their job.
Yeah.
And they should, if, yeah, you do something inappropriate. So
here in Williamson County, or just in general?
In Williamson County.
Yeah.
Listen, as Justice of the Peace, I signed arrest warrants for deputies or detectives or correction officers or city leaders. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter who you are. I signed arrest warrants for school officials.
Mm-hmm.
You break the law, you're going to be held accountable.
How big are the body cams? Because every single time that I see a YouTube video of like someone, you know, getting pulled over for whatever reason, and they see a cop, the cop's like, yeah, I'm recording you too. I never see the body cam. So how big are they?
Well, in Williamson County, I think they're pretty big. They're about the size of an iPhone,
mm-hmm,
and they're about a half inch thick. So, I mean, they're kind, mm-hmm, of front and center, but I guess if you don't know perhaps what you're looking for. And the technology is really cool because you like technology and everything,
yeah,
and all that. The technology is pretty cool. Now the body cams, when they pull up to their substation or to the sheriff's office, it automatically uploads from their body cam,
ooh,
to the server, and it attaches to the case.
That's cool.
Wow. And that's not generally the only video. There's generally front videos on law enforcement cars, and our DPS troopers,
mm-hmm,
have front and rear videos as well as body cams.
Mm-hmm.
So technology is really changing the game.
It is.
Has this new technology and stuff, I take it, has made court somewhat easier for finding the truth behind matters, mm-hmm, and less, if someone does tell a story, you have a video there to back it up,
mm-hmm,
and see if they're telling the truth or
not. Yeah, yeah. Video technology is probably done more in Texas to reduce the number of court cases in court than any other step in the last 100 years.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Because now defendants, and this should be this way, but there was a new law a few years ago called the Michael Morton Act. And the Michael Morton Act means that the state or the prosecutor, that every piece of evidence they have against you has to be given to the other side.
Yeah.
So now, mm-hmm, say it's a simple traffic ticket.
Right.
Well, traffic tickets aren't simple, but let's say it's a traffic ticket. You can now go into our county attorney's office, and on a computer, you can see your own traffic stop.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Before it even gets to court. And you can go, wow, that looks really incriminating. I better pay this ticket. Or you go,
yeah,
wow, I was right. I didn't do that. Let's go to court. And so the technology's just made it easier and better, I think, for defendants, in, mm-hmm, my view.
And throughout your career, you've changed careers a few times. So I know in 2015 you were elected by the, wait, no, that's the wrong one. You were elected by the, for the Texas Judicial Council, mm-hmm, by Chief Justice Hetch. Did, mm-hmm, I pronounce that right?
That's correct. He's an amazing man.
And that was in 2015. And your four-year term ended in February.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you compare your office from that to the one that you're in now?
So the State Judicial Council, and recently I was reappointed by the Chief Justice back to the Judicial Council. There are 12 judges in Texas. In total, there are 3,200 judges in Texas. The Judicial Council is made up of 12 judges, and we set the rules, the policies, and the guidelines for all the courts in Texas. It's the highest honor I've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell you guys to go. We meet quarterly on the floor of the Supreme Court, to meet in the Supreme Court of Texas, and to be seated by some of the greatest legal minds in the world, and to be appointed by the Chief Justice of Texas to that position is been really quite humbling. And I know at the Judicial Council, I chair a couple of committees. And I know in Williamson County that I'm making a difference, or at least I'd like to think that I am.
Mm-hmm.
But I know I'm making a difference across Texas, because I've made decisions that affect defendants statewide.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope decisions that are right. But it's pretty cool when you're appointed by the Chief Justice mm-hmm. of the Supreme Court, and you're a simple little kid from Williamson County, Texas.
Yeah.
Would you say that was one of the best highlights of your career?
Yes.
Yes.
The best highlight or one of the best highlights?
One of the best highlights.
Okay.
What is the best highlight?
Okay, you're not going to mock me, right?
No.
Of course not.
The greatest highlight of my career is not as a judge, but it's as a grandpa.
Really?
I have 5 grandkids, and 3 of them live here. Mm-hmm. Now, I hope my granddaughter doesn't hear this podcast. She's in kindergarten, and I'm going to be a mystery reader next month to her kindergarten class. Because I'm... want to mentor and help out.
Right.
The greatest honor I've ever had is being a grandpa.
That's nice. And I don't think she'll hear this, because mainly if anybody hears this, it's going to be high school students and whoever we send it to, like Miss King and Chody, I believe. We are sending him all of the podcasts, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So...
Do you see yourself doing, like, after this term, do you see yourself branching out into something else, or where do you go from here?
What do you think? Where do you think I should go from here?
Where do I think you should go from here?
Mm-hmm.
Well, knowing that your heart is in mentoring and all that stuff, I mm-hmm. think you're going to go somewhere in that field again.
Yeah.
Unless you get reappointed, which I'm cool with, too.
I was about to say, I'm a very simple man. I believe in the very fine saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I personally think that you're going to spend another few years as a judge, and then you're probably going to retire.
But you're going to work with kids and, like, mentoring.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
but, like, as, like, a side job, just to spend your time as in retirement, you would just work with kids.
Are we on the right track?
I think that's what you're going to do.
Any hints?
Well, I've only been county judge for 100 days. And I'm elected to a 4-year term, and I certainly could choose to run for re-election, or I could choose to run for U.S. Congress, or maybe I would even consider running for the United States Senate. But where I end in my life will be in some classroom, sitting with some kids, maybe reading a book in a library, or taking some kid out to the soccer field, kicking a ball around,
mm-hmm.
letting them know that, you know what, you can be whatever you want to be in life. But that's where I'm going to end up.
Well said.
Yeah, that's pretty great, because I remember whenever I was a kid, one of my neighbors, her name was Miss Herford. I think her name was Miss Herford. It's been a long time. She and her husband were so involved with me and my brother that every single time we would be on the newspaper or anything like that, she'd go like, "Oh my gosh, you're on the newspaper! Look at this!" And, you know, if we were bored, or, you know, we were outcasted by whatever friends we had, you know, she'd go like, "Oh, come, help us garden," or all that stuff, you know. She would be a part of a mentor, and it's really important, really nice to a kid.
Mm-hmm.
It basically shapes their character for the rest of their life.
That's why yesterday I didn't mind. I've spoken 4 or 5 years to the government class,
mm-hmm.
the ACC government class,
mm-hmm.
and yesterday I even invited them, come to the courthouse, let me show you your Williamson County Courthouse and the history. That's why I don't mind getting out into the community. And so it started for me. His name was Bucky Whitlow. Mr. Whitlow was a bank president in Round Rock, Texas. And he was just nice to me,
mm-hmm.
and was kind. And my senior year in high school was the first time I'd made the A honor roll. And I struggled academically because of dyslexia and laziness.
Mm-hmm.
And my senior year, I made the A honor roll, and I still have the piece of paper, but Mr. Whitlow cut out the newspaper, and he mailed it to me and said, "I'm proud of you. you can do anything you want. And never forget, you may start in Round Rock, Texas, but the sky's the limit.
Yeah, and that those kinds of things are basically what you hold on to for your whole entire life.
Yep, you do.
Yeah.
And back then, they would say the sky's the limit, but nowadays, you know that there's footsteps on the moon, so you can shoot even higher.
Yeah, you're right. And so that's why when I'm on the floor of the Supreme Court, I know that a poor kid from Round Rock, Texas, can do anything that he or she wants. Mm-hmm. You just have to dream. You have to stay focused. Don't listen to the detractors. And you keep your eye on the ball, and you can do whatever you want.
All right, we're getting close to ending this podcast. Last question, what advice would you tell people listening if they come in and see you? Like, what would be the things to avoid? What would be the things to do? We've already discussed lying and telling the truth and all that stuff and, you know, staying quiet and all that stuff. But is there anything else?
Well, I just, and own when you mess up.
Yeah.
Right? I've only been married 33 years, and I love my wife. But, you know, in relationships, you just got to own it when you mess up. And by the way, if you don't learn how to own it when you're a teenager that you mess up, the state of Texas will help you learn how to own it when they put you in jail.
Yeah.
And you will own it. You will own it now or you will own it later, but just own it.
Yeah.
And be kind. If you ever come into court and you have an adversarial or a cocky attitude, nice really matters in court. Mm-hmm. So.
All right. Well, thank you for coming and talking to us for this podcast.
It's been a pleasure.
Yes.
Thank you.
It's been an honor, Your Honor, once more.
That was awesome.